It's started.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the meeting. I give you my peace. And let's open in prayer. Father, we come before you and we say thank you for permitting us to come through this month. You know that there has been some difficulties in all of our lives, may it be spiritual struggle, physical struggle, personal struggle, financial, whatever it is, Father, you are the one who engineers these tests for us, and then you give us the strength to bear them, and you also give us the answers to get through them. We are looking this evening, Father, for a special word from you and a special conversation. We appreciate that we have this time with our teammates, that we are able to discuss the future, because that's what's important. It is not of this world that we seek one thing, but it is of your heart, and I ask that you will please share a little bit of heaven with us. Provide understanding for all of us too. And if there's difficulties and struggles, then we ask that you'll put them aside for us, that we are able to focus on that which is important. And that is our roles in this future, to help the bride come home. See the concerns and cares on the hearts and provide answers for them when the time is right. We pray for our teammates' families too and their struggles as well. We pray for eternity as they surround us this evening, and we ask for your guidance with them too. We pray for our leaders in the church and in our country. We pray that your will is the one that is served. If there's something we've forgotten, then I know you'll cover it. And according to what we ask, and in your name we bow, we love you, Father. Amen. All right. Before we start, I'm going to change the itinerary around. And what I'd like to do is a little meditation session at this point, and then I'll read Father's message to everybody, and we'll kind of get focused and centered together. So if you would all please take a deep breath in through your nose, out through your mouth, center yourselves in the center of your mind. Make sure you are grounded. While we are in this meeting, you don't need to have protection roses up. You can just have your pog shield up, because we are not here to attack each other. And Michael and his team are holding space for all of us where we are, so we are not disturbed. Father and Jesus are here with Starlight and myself. Take a big deep breath in, blow out through your mouth, and relax. Before we go and see Father, I would like everybody to think about this week a little bit. Think about the day you had, and I would like everybody to let go of it in any form that you wish. Take a deep breath in, and let go of the stress, let go of the pain, let go of the frustration, let go of the world. Take a big deep breath now. Let us all go to Father's chamber. He has set up a huge table in the center of the chamber. He is sitting at the head of it. It is a round table. He is asking all of us to take a chair and sit around the table and hold hands with one another. Jesus said, we will not be singing Kumbaya. Uh-huh. There is no time. Father said, this is the circle of my fellowship. And no, you're not seeking a ring. You are seeking soul salvation. So it's a lot more important. And yet you still have swords to battle with. And there are demons and ugly things to put down. Take a deep breath. Father is clearing all of our spaces. As he touches the hands of those closest to him, they will go through the rest and filter around the table. Those of you that are having a difficult time seeing anything, it doesn't matter. You are covered. Father says he invigorates our hearts. This COVID thing has got everybody concerned. Do not concern yourself with it. Follow the protocols. He will keep you safe. in front of you are little gold chests. Open them up. If there is something that's weighing on your heart and you haven't had the chance or the nerve to come and talk to Father about it, this is your opportunity to put it in this gold chest. Take a deep breath and put it in there. He said you are always welcome to come anytime you want, but this is a good opportunity for everyone to discuss a matter with me on a personal level. Let go of your anxiety, your nervousness, your frustration, your anger. When you let go of these, then Father can give us peace to fill up that space. And he will also add joy. For our souls are weary from battle. Take a deep breath. Father is now filling us with his light. And peace. And joy. He is raising his hands above us. And he is giving us strength. He's now making kissy faces over everybody. Soak up Father's energy. Take a deep breath. Be a sponge. And relax. When you're ready, focus your attention behind your eyes and open them. Oh, yeah. Father brought out the good stuff. Okay. All right. Here's what Father had to say. My very dear family, much rests on your hearts about this election. I will just say that the end results are my will. Now, we must focus on the spiritual, for that is eternal. I am thankful for those of you who spent time with Jesus and went to a realm. You brought much joy, love, and comfort by simply showing up. So I thank you. This is a foretaste of the future. You will help those who you do not know, but they know of you. You will extend compassion and love to all who seek me. Be you. Never let your guard down ever. Satan waits to strike at you and your family. Be vigilant in all things. As we come into the holiday season, many hearts change for the better and love abounds. Be mindful of those around you and always be kind. I am thankful for all of you and am glad that you chose to walk this path of faith with me. I will not forsake you ever. Things will get difficult in the future, but I have bound our hearts together as one. You will feel what I feel towards mankind. Why? I feel the need to save and help them. You again are an extension of me and my boys. Do the work. Serve and love everyone. I love all of you. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Okay.
On the topic of spreading love and compassion. I feel the need to apologize. I shared a post on Facebook a while ago with the intent of saying, hey, this is a way that we can help support each other and help our fellow citizens, you know, help make this country better. And it turned into a political argument between some of my family members within the post, and I did not intend for it to go that way. And it felt like that went against what we had talked about before. And I noticed, thinking about it now, that Derek came through in some of the comments rather than staying nuke. And I wanted to apologize to you guys for that.
No worries. Lesson learned.
Yep.
Anybody else? I thought it interesting that Father said, you will feel what I feel towards mankind, why he feels the need to save them. It's important that you and I understand the love that Father has for mankind. That is the crux of our responsibility, I'll say. And for the longest time, we've heard it over the years that we're supposed to care about mankind and we're supposed to concern ourselves with them. And despite mankind being the way they are, sometimes it's hard for all of us to get our head around that. So I think now Father's opening up a little bit of his heart towards you and I, so that we have that ability to feel that. Any questions or comments beyond that?
That's nice. It'll make it a little bit easier for us. Well, how about a lot of it easier?
Yes. I was going to go over for a deeper understanding a little bit about Revelations, but I'm going to hold off on that till our next meeting because I want to delve into it a little bit more before I discuss it with you. I do not have an interesting tidbit for you. So we will go into the religion, and Trisus is going to talk to us about the Mormons. So Trisus.
Unmuting. There we go. That's better. All right. So, the Mormons, we've probably been visited by them at our houses. We've probably heard about them. Maybe we watched the South Park episode where they brought forth the tongue-in-cheek lesson about the Mormons. It's fascinating. There are things that I learned going over this that I had no idea. Right off the bat, in 2018, they decided that they didn't like the term Mormon anymore. And they wanted to be called Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Apparently there's many different sects, and the other sects do not like to be called Mormons because it brings up the polygamy and the probably some of the darkest days of the religion. They don't mind it, but they prefer not to be called. So if you ever do see a Mormon, Latter-day Saints, LDS, as opposed to LSD, which I kept referring to them all week this week, which was a wrong designation on my part. This church, it has a very interesting beginning. So I'm going to go through my notes, otherwise I'm going to bounce around all over the place. But again, it started at the same time as most churches after Luther, and it really picked up between the 1850s and the 1900s. Brigham Young is the most famous of them. He brought them out of the Midwest and brought them out to Utah. Some of the most noted parts of them right off the bat is that you'll see young men, and now sometimes young women. It was mostly young men going out, and they are full-time proselytizers. That's what they do. That's their ministry. It's turned now more into younger men and the older members because some of them have to earn a living. I looked up to see if these folks got reimbursed from the church for doing it, if that's what they're doing full-time. There's really nothing on it, but I found it interesting that they really don't talk about the money end on any of the teachings or on any of the sites I looked at. I thought found it interesting how they could be full-time working for the church and not have anywhere to live. And I did years ago ask a couple of younger men, and they travel 6 to 8 months out of the year. So that's pretty expensive existence. So I'll have to get back into that and see if they're actually reimbursed or if there's something else as how they make money on that. But it was interesting because all of these studies tried to push these folks out to be something outside the norm as being Christian. But when I went through it, I'm guessing that most of the information was written by Mormons and that they wanted to hold themselves out. But when we go through it, you're going to see that they have beliefs like any other Christian denomination. There are some other ones that I'll highlight, but you know, they do have a Book of Mormon. They have some other teachings. They have some things here that you can see that they go into besides the Bible. The Book of Mormon is the biggest part. They also have some scriptures that they follow. And I highlighted under beliefs where Mormons, however, have a relatively open definition of scripture. As a general rule, anything spoken or written by a prophet while under inspiration is considered to be the word of God. So they have a lot more modern teachings that they can go off of rather than just using the Bible. But again, we have the living altar, right? So I would see at some point there might be a Book of Orlovsky or you know, a Book of Proust or, you know, at some point written during the 1,000-year kingdom of peace, we're going to need some reference. Maybe, I don't know, but they have an interesting, I'm going to say interesting, and we'll leave it at that. They believe that God is God the Father. They also call him Elohim or Godhead. They do believe that there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that God the Father and God the Son have bodies. The Holy Spirit is just celestial. But they also believe in a Heavenly Mother. And that God was on another planet. Pardon me, I got a tickle in my throat. Give me a second here. The God was on another planet before he became God. I tried to find more on that, but again, I didn't want to get so far down the rabbit hole on reading the Book of Mormon. But you can find out more. They consider the book a sacred text. They believe that the teachings in that book happened between 2200 BC to 421 AD. Joseph Smith wrote it. There are some discrepancies to whether he got them and used a seer stone in a hat or got some spectacles from God, but all of the accounts talk about there was a book and it was given to him by an angel, Moroni. They refer to Moroni as an angel, but also as a man. So depending on which text you're reading and which part of their history, Joseph Smith recalls an account of him when he was 17. He was told to go look at a certain part of a hill in an area where he lived in New York, and he found these plates. At some point, the plates were stolen by the wife of one of his friends while they were translating it. It's pretty convoluted, again, depending on what you want to read, but basically he believes, and the whole principle of the religion is that these sacred texts were written by a deity or a sub-deity or an angel, and this is what they believe and what their religion is based on. The biggest part is that Jesus appeared to the natives in the United States prior to him being Jesus in Jerusalem. And that is, I don't know why that's so important, but that's a big part of their religion. What's interesting is everybody outside the Mormon religion doesn't believe any of that. There's no archaeological, historical, or scientific evidence of any of this. Whereas with Jesus in Jerusalem and the Old Testament, New Testament, you can actually pull up hard evidence of these different religions and different peoples, different lands, because there's actual physical texts. So having said that, Mormons have been made fun of for years. They are very to themselves. They, I think that's maybe why they wrote their history the way it is, that they want to hold themselves off. But we're going to get into why they also are looked down upon in a minute here. They have three distinct eras of their religion. The lifetime of Joseph Smith, the pioneer era where Brigham Young brought them from the Midwest into Utah, and then the modern era. The entire existence of the Mormons is that even though they do believe in an afterlife, they believe that there's going to be a Zion made right here on earth. And the early part of the church, that was their whole idea of their existence. Now, Smith claimed that there was going to be a real need to be here on earth and have the wealth and the what would you call it, the needs necessary to survive here on earth. Which is interesting because everyone believes that there's a life thereafter. And even with Jesus's return, yeah, there's going to be a short time here where we're going to need to be around, but we believe as firstlings, we're only going to be here temporary, and there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. They don't really talk that much about that. I'll go briefly over the beginning. The reason why the Mormons are hated, and I use that term literally, is because in their communities in the early time, they held themselves off so far from the government and from the settlements that were there that they basically became enemies of the government and from the local peoples. They created their own banks. They created their own money systems. They created their own militia. They had wars, skirmishes, and at some point they were kicked out of Illinois in their settlements and basically told leave. One of the biggest issues that they had, it was the Kirkland Safety Society. It was a bank in 1836, and they basically had stockholders. The members were encouraged to put their money into this bank, and it basically went belly up. They lost a huge amount of the members. In fact, different people were put in jail because the government thought it was a Ponzi scheme, for lack of a better word. And it basically became a pariah in Illinois at that point. They had a settlement in Nauvoo, Illinois, and they created a new temple. Again, this was the beginning of Zion. They thought this is where it was going to be. They had, again, polygamy was an early part. So they were basically thinking they were doing the young ladies a favor when they came over from Europe, because a lot of them didn't have means. And back then, women couldn't work, women couldn't own land, women couldn't have bank accounts. So they basically said, well, polygamy is needed because these women have no way of taking care of themselves. So that's what started that tradition. There's a little misunderstanding even in their own history about why it started, but that was our big reason why they were in that tradition. Smith was always introducing new things. And one of the newer things, and I wanted to put aside, was exaltation. Exaltation is the belief amongst members of the church that mankind can reach the highest level of salvation to eternally live in God's presence, become gods themselves, and continue as families. And I held that out because I thought, well, we believe we want to be with God, but then it kind of takes that right-hand turn again that put Mormons outside most Christian communities. And even I remember talking to a Mormon earlier, and he goes, yeah, we're going to be families and all that. And I said, you're going to be what? And there became a point of contention and they left, because I didn't want to talk about that. That was just too odd at the time for me when I was younger. They had another skirmish in Illinois, so bad that they're basically kicked out. The brothers, Smith and his brother, were killed by a mob because they were done with them. They were done with the Mormons. After that, it continued to escalate for quite a few years. And at that point, Brigham Young said, okay, we're going to go, we'll leave, don't worry about it. And he took them out farther west. They ended up in the Utah territory. So at this point, Utah was not a state.
Hey, Trisus, can you wind this up in 2 minutes?
Yeah.
We got a lot to go over.
Thank you. Sorry. You're fine. Longer because you said you didn't have much, but
I do now.
They were always held outside the norm. And again, even now, if you talk to a Mormon, very nice people, if you know them, but there's that interesting part of their understanding and their faith that holds them outside. And I would love to actually talk to one to know more about it. Look farther down onto the notes, and there's even a link to go directly to a volunteer group that holds the history of the Mormons and the modern history. Really great site. But if you have a chance, really go look into it. Again, I don't know how much time everybody's going to have this time of year, but there are four areas of the Mormons. The Latter-day Saints is what we know of, but there's fundamentalist Mormons, liberal Mormons, and cultural Mormons. So I found that even these other three sects kind of hold that first one off as like, well, they're the weird ones, we're the normal ones. And they actually refer to themselves as the normal ones too, which is interesting. So just like the Jewish faith, just like the Christians, there are some that are straight line. There are some that are more open. But honestly, if there's any lesson that you want to learn more about, I would look into this one. I have a feeling over the coming years, we might be compared more to Mormons than any other religion, because that's the religion that's out often, and they wear black and white like us. So take a look at it, and you're gonna kind of cotruddle some dudes to yourself under some of the facts. But I don't know when the next religion study will be. I guess in January, or we still take December off, Trilin? Okay.
Correct. But, yeah, we're off December.
So if I'm still going to do that, I was thinking of doing Seventh-day Adventists. I'm fascinated about that one as well. But thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions? Okay.
One more comment. Just it sounds like a drop of Scientology made it into the Mormon faith.
What was that?
I'm sorry. I said it sounded like a drop of Scientology made it into the Mormon faith.
It's interesting. I was thinking about that. I want to do that. I want to study Scientology, but then maybe a part one, part two at some point in the spring, maybe, if I'm still in charge of religions. But yeah, that's an interesting point.
Okay. Last month, I discussed with you that Father told me that sometimes when he makes a soul, he spends decades working on that soul. Someone sent me an email asking, does that mean that Father loves that soul more than he would somebody that he didn't spend that much time with? The first thing I'll say is the length of time that Father spends on a soul does not determine how much he loves one. He loves every soul equally. To the parents that have multiple children, do you love one of your children more than the other one, or do you love them a little different, right? And I would say the reason why Father spends more time on one soul than another, let's use this one for instance. Noah had a huge responsibility. So I would say Father probably spent a lot of time on him, prepping him for that, and Moses, and all the patriarchs that had to have a huge responsibility to carry out his plan. So too is it for any soul, I believe, with him that he spends extra time with to make sure that they're well equipped to support the work in the way that he has to have them do it for him. That is why he spends so much time. So I apologize if I made it believe that for some reason Father would love a soul more because he's spending more time with them. That's not it at all, okay? Does anybody have any other questions about that? All right. I had a conversation with Atmos, and I asked him to bring this to everybody's attention. Atmos.
So I reached out to Triland because we're doing some work for school, and one of our financial classes going through this book called Provision and Wealth. Going to a Christian-based college. So that's kind of nice because it includes faith-based learning along with the business side of things. And this story is about John Wesley, who was an Oxford-educated Anglican priest back in the 18th century in England, Great Britain. He had a view on things he's quoted as saying, I look upon the world as my parish. So he didn't necessarily align to one. It was interesting because he said that, he saw the world as his parish, especially those that were poor. And so he worked with the poor in Great Britain during that time and brought together what they called bands or classes of believers. And as he brought these folks together, their faith started to catch on fire and started to increase. As they started to increase in faith, they started to drop their bad habits that were keeping them poor. Like alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever that may have been back then, that type of thing. So as he watched them reduce their addictions and increase their lifestyle overall, they started to get better homes. They started to become better educated. They started to get better jobs. Life started to become comfortable for them, something that they had never experienced before. And he noticed an interesting thing while that was happening, and I'll just read a quick section from the book. It says, Wesley, however, became increasingly disturbed. He noticed that with such upward mobility, his young converts' passion for radical discipleship mellowed. Comfortable complacency frequently took root, and the zeal they once had to live passionate, selfless lives of risk and faith drained away. He had a maxim, John Wesley, that said, earn all you can, give all you can, and save all you can. And then that was really how he lived his life. And he died a pauper because everything he made, he handed right back out again. And so it's interesting because between school and what I've been learning as far as self-reliance, you have to be willing to make yourself uncomfortable. You have to be willing to, for instance, let's just say for some reason society were to break down and you all of a sudden had to start living in a tent. Could you do it? Take yourself out, go camping with nothing but a tent and a lighter and a knife and do it for 3 days. Come back to home and that food tastes a little bit better that you cooked on the stove, right? That warm shower is actually kind of nice because you get to clean yourself, right? And that's another example is, go down, turn the hot water off at the hot water heater and go take a shower. And then the next time you go to take a shower, go ahead and turn that hot water heater back on and see how much more you appreciate that hot water heater. So the point is these folks were going from uncomfort or discomfort to a level of comfort, and that comfort drove their faith out. And that's what John Wesley observed with his parishes. And so the thought came to mind is, well, how then how do we become or put ourselves in places of uncomfort in our faith? How do we become uncomfortable with our faith in order to reestablish it or reignite it or to strengthen it? I thought, for example, it would be one of the situations I could think of would be to go to a nation like, say, Zimbabwe or Uganda, and to go on a mission trip and see how other folks live and see how they can live in a tin shed with a dirt floor and their faith is bigger and brighter and stronger than mine. That's one way I could see of becoming uncomfortable in my faith. putting myself in a place where understanding that folks that have less are better than I am. And how do I overcome that in my faith life? So I pose the question to all of you is, think about how can you become uncomfortable in your faith? What can you do to challenge yourself to become uncomfortable in faith and to help reignite it where it may need help?
Thank you. So if you think about this whole COVID thing, it's pretty much made everybody uncomfortable. It's changed the status quo. It's caused us to think outside of the box, but then it also kind of constricted us to things. And a lot of things that you and I had as a freedom are now taken away from us. In our faith of life, what is it that you and I have now become so complacent with that we take it for granted? And that's why Atmos and I had this conversation, because I wanted to discuss with everybody, what is it that we have to do personally with ourselves to reignite that spark in our hearts? Because sometimes when we get complacent, then all of a sudden that fire dies down and we're not filled with zeal. And because of the current situation in the world, we don't have the access we used to have. Then you and I need to find a way to continue that relationship with Father, with Jesus, with HS, because he continually tells us to come and spend time with him. We need to find that time and do that so that when he does flip the switch, you and I are burning bright like a star, because he doesn't have the time for you and I to be like a lighter that won't light. He's clicking and clicking and clicking and nothing's coming from it. Okay. So that's why we discuss this. Any questions? Any points? Interesting. All right. Q has something he'd like to share with everybody too. Q.
What was I going to share? I can't remember.
Oh, boy. We were talking about the body of Christ. You had, yeah, a little bit. And then it was also your experience, how you view things when you go into eternity. I was going to segue then into everybody else who would like to. You got it now?
Oh, yes. Right, okay. Okay. Right. Yes. Thanks.
Got to wind him up and let him go.
Right. Well, it was my question to you, right? Because I called and we talked about when we go into eternity and no, wait a minute. That's not, why am I going blank here?
Well, we probably shouldn't discuss it. Yeah.
What's that again?
Come up. Yeah, we probably don't need to discuss it then at this meeting. We'll wait and see what comes up.
All right.
Prevagen might help.
Ginkgo biloba. Yeah. Does anybody want to share their experience training with Michael?
I'll start since I brought it up.
Go ahead, Q.
So I have to confess that when we were first told to go train with Michael again, I neglected that until the next meeting. So after the next meeting, I tried to start right away and I went and talked to Michael and kind of had it set up so that I would ground. Actually, I went to bed and nothing happened. I don't think anything happened. I checked and I was told, ground before you go to bed because I wasn't ready. I was in the right state. And then when I did it that night, I woke up and wasn't sure if anything happened because I didn't wake up in a sweat. And I wasn't sure. So I said, you know what, Michael, can you just come again? So we went into my dojo and we started sparring the way we typically would, you know, just start sparring in a dojo with wooden swords and that. And then he was just appearing behind me and I knew where he went and I went after him and then he'd be next to me. So it wasn't as if he went that way. He just disappeared and ended up someplace else. And what was nice about that, after we did that for a while, he helped me to realize that every time he did it, I knew exactly where he went. And so it was a nice experience because I hadn't ever fought like that before. So it was kind of nice. It's cool. Then they dismissed me and I could go.
Okay. Anybody else?
I was a little later than Q. Q, I just did mine today. So nice. Don't feel too bad. That's the first time I've had more than 10 minutes to sit down to myself and actually meditate. So it was a huge blessing. And I know my father gave it to me. So I went in to the center of my mind today, and I met with Father and Jesus and discussed some things. And I had a wonderful phone call yesterday with Aquos. We were able to discuss some things, which was awesome. And it actually kind of tied together with this. And we went into the dojo just like you did. And typically, Michael and I don't spar. We talk more about tactics than we do anything in strategy. And he looked at me and he said, minute details at most. Just remember the minute details, the minutia. He said, Lucifer knows simple minds overlook big things and minute details, but he knows that knowledgeable and wise minds see much more. So he has to get further into I thought about planting that small seed, right? They plant that small seed, you don't think anything of it, and then all of a sudden it becomes something much bigger than it ever could have been. But I thought
you broke really up. Cool. You broke up. Can you repeat everything you just said?
Oh crap. That was really good too.
Yeah. that's why I want you to repeat it.
So I don't know where
you started with Lucifer, right?
Yeah. So
okay, right there.
He said that Lucifer knows simple minds and he knows wise minds. He knows whose minds will overlook small and big details, and he knows whose minds will see every little thing for the most part. So he knows how granular he has to go with his scheme to fool that mind. So he said, you have to pay attention to the minute details. And after talking with Aquos, he said, you know, you need to check out your heart and you need to check out the center of your mind. So I did that too. Not thinking too much of it, but it actually tied together. I went to the center of my mind, fixed what was there, had my meeting with Father and Jesus, and then with Michael. And then I went to my heart chakra to clean it up, to look at what, hey, Aquos said, hey, you've got something there. You need to go check it out. So I went down there and I flushed it out the first time, right? I didn't see anything. Went to the center of my mind, did all that stuff, and then came back. And there's a tree in the center of my mind, or in the center of my heart, that holds leaves, and all those leaves represent the relationships that I have built over the time of my life. So there's dead leaves usually on the ground that represent people and relationships that have gone by the wayside. New leaves pop up all the time. So I looked at this tree and I noticed there's a black streak going up the middle of it that I hadn't noticed before. I went into the root ball of this tree and it was black. And it was feeding black into, so evil, into the leaves or my relationships that I have with other people. And so I was like, wow. And Michael goes, minute details at most. A black streak in the side of your tree, that's a minute detail. You passed it up the first time. And so Father came in, and this is a giant oak tree. I mean, huge. And Father comes in, grabs it, pulls it up by the ground, covers up the ground, tills it up, plops a new one in there. He goes, there you go. It's time to start reestablishing those relationships. It was a pretty amazing experience.
Wonderful. Anybody else? Some expressed to me that they would like to keep their personal training to themselves, and that's fine too. I'm not forcing anybody. For myself, sure. Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead.
So in my stupor of the last few weeks, I got the mission or the request screwed up. And it's quite interesting. I'm laughing to myself now. I thought we were supposed to go with Michael into the realms, not with Jesus. So I finally, you know, and if no one knows, I was in the hospital a couple of weeks ago because my blood pressure dropped. And after that, I was trying to figure out which realm to visit. And I thought, well, I should go visit the realm of those that died too soon or died before they thought they would. So that was in my mind. Today, I finally had enough gumption. But while you were talking about not sweating and all that, I realized the last 2 weeks, I've been sweating to death every night. And usually I sleep really cold. So today, I met Michael, and he is all business. It's amazing, you know, where even Jolil, I've kind of get him to, you know, we can laugh a little bit. Michael's just like, you know, let's get on with this. I'm busy.
Strong and silent.
Yeah. So I went out to my favorite place to meditate, which is not in front of my building, but there's another building, and it's blocked by trees and all that. And people that are standing at my other at my entrance can't see me. So on Sundays, they stay up to my room about 2 o'clock, and then I go out there to meditate. And we're like, where are you? I'm like, I'm hiding. Because I do shopping for everybody here, and it's become almost every day of the week now. So, and I'm going to keep doing it until they get the bus running. But there's a lot of people that need a lot of stuff. So I'm not buying it for them. I'm just using my credit cards. Anyway, I met with Michael in the center of my mind, and I said, I'm sorry it took so long, but now I'm replaying what he said while you were talking about sweating. And he's been training me in my sleep for the last 2 weeks.
Nice.
Because I don't sleep. I freeze when I sleep. I even have the heater on some nights, which is stupid. But so he said, today you are ready. I'm like, okay. But he gave me specific instructions, which was interesting because it wasn't just like, hey, we're going to eternity. He said, they're not going to know who you are. They're going to think you're Jesus, or they're not going to understand what's happening. There'll be a perimeter. Talk to them, but we will be brief. Okay. I mean, very specific. Usually it's, hey, let's go and see what's happening. But I haven't been in the realms very long time. I just have not had the gumption or been physically strong. So he gave me a couple minutes. I said, I'm ready. He goes, no, you're not. I'm like, oh, okay. He goes, take a few more minutes. Okay. I took a deep breath. And then I imagined we left, and he goes, no, that was your imagination. We haven't left anywhere. So, and again, it's a great place to meditate because it quite literally is nowhere. And it was beautiful out today. It was about 80 degrees, almost no humidity, a little bit of breeze. Could hear the fronds moving back and forth. I'm like, I'm ready. He goes, now you're ready. Zoom. I show up, and they have like a semicircle cordoned off. And there's just hundreds of souls, you know, in front. And they're all looking like, who is this? One lady reached out immediately and says, I have to talk to my family. I didn't have enough chances to talk to them. This isn't fair. And then all of a sudden, everybody just started complaining. I shouldn't have died. A little kid's like, this is not fair. I'm too little. I didn't even get to live my life. And I was like, okay, those are all valid. I said, I felt like I was dying a couple of weeks ago. I can't imagine. I mean, when my blood pressure dropped, my sight went away. I actually was screaming out to the aid. Even the paramedics told me to shut up. They said, you're not going to die. And I said, it feels like I'm dying. He goes, it probably feels like you're dying, but you're not. He goes, your blood pressure is so low, the blood can't get up into your head. We're going to lay you flat. You'll be fine. And I still kept screaming. And finally, the aide grabbed my hand. She goes, John, you're going to be fine. I was terrified. I can't imagine going into the realms feeling like that. It scared me. Even after the fact, I can remember everything. I should have passed out. The doctor in the ER even said, the only thing keeping you going was the adrenaline. Otherwise, you should have passed out. You shouldn't have remembered anything. Well, Father wants me to remember everything. I close my eyes and I feel like that all the time. Anyway, I told everybody, that there'll be emissaries. There'll be people to come down and talk. I said, I promised them I would talk and visit again. And it almost wasn't good enough. There was such a clamoring. And I even said at one point, and they had, and I got to ask you, Triland, I saw demons and spirits off in the distance. Now, you bound them here only?
And there. Nope. Both places.
Both. Because they were
there.
That's
why they're off in the distance. They're going to be there. They just can't do anything.
They just weren't. Okay.
They just can't be active right now.
Okay. Thank you. Because I was like, this doesn't make any sense. But I said, they will not bother you. The next time somebody comes and wants to talk to you, listen. It's not instantaneous. It's not going to be quick. Went through the whole shamil. I looked at Michael and he kind of nodded and I went, okay, I would be back. And I was back in my body and he says, you really got to get your energy. He goes, they sucked a lot out of you. And he said, also, Trisus, your friends here suck a lot of your life out of you. You've got to bring your energy more back. He goes, you are so willing to give. He goes, that's why you're always so tired. He goes, you're already in a diminished capacity. Okay, fine. Duh. We should all know this, right? But it was very interesting. And like I said, I haven't been out of my body in a very long time, but it was very cool. So I made a commitment to go back to them, but that was my experience. So next time I'll go with Jesus.
Good plan.
I actually asked Michael, I said,
okay. I was going to say, so you went with Michael in the realm. You didn't go beat up Jesus, did you?
No.
Okay. All right, good.
No. So, but I asked him if he wanted to come have a beer with us. And he goes, I don't drink beer. I'm like, business to the end.
Yes, he is.
Business to the end. So
he just said he doesn't want to get fired. So
he what?
He doesn't want to get fired drinking on the job.
We can hide it. It's no problem.
Yeah, don't all know. Anybody else? Either training with Michael or a realm you went to?
Yeah. Sorry. I went to my heart chakra, which is where Jesus always is, and asked him to lead me into a realm, and our daughter Mila showed up. And I don't know how much of this we shared with you guys. It's been a while, but when we experienced that miscarriage, Mila felt like it was her fault for some reason, which is absurd. I mean, no unborn child could ever be at fault for anything like that. But there's no way to really explain that. So after a long time of visiting with her and spending time with her and hugging her endlessly, she realized that it wasn't her fault. It was part of Father's plan. And there's a section of the realm of the miscarried that is, it's essentially this walled off room of all of these souls that feel like it's their fault. And it's the saddest place I have ever been in my life. I'm tearing up now just thinking about it. And I didn't even say anything while I was there. I couldn't bring myself to speak. So I had Shamuel joined me and we just spread love and peace throughout the entire section of the realm. And there's still so much work that needs to be done there, but I felt the slightest glimmer of acceptance, if you will, that there is a deeper meaning behind what they experienced, behind what their families experienced. And it was a lot.
I bet. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. I was in a realm that was similar to the one that Trisus was in. Mine was, I've been in the realm before. It's the realm of the confused. It had a lot to do with every denomination of faith. And they are upset and confused as to why they're even there, because they live their life of faith the way they were taught. And they're angry about the whole situation. And there's so much confusion as to what's going on that they can't even pinpoint one problem. to move to the next level of their faith, which I never really thought would ever be an issue. But this is a realm that I have been asking Father to grant clarity to. So I would ask everyone to pray for the realm of the confused as well. As far as my training with Michael, he and I don't really spar anymore. I've had a lot of experience. So him and I talk tactical strategies and things like that. So it was a quick meeting. I appreciate everything everybody has done this year. I am thankful that I have you in my life. As the holidays come in, we do not have a meeting next month. So I wish everybody and their families a wonderful holiday season. I will email you the schedule for next year, next week, and I'll send invites as well. The next meeting will be January 10th. And if there isn't anything else, I asked Q to close the meeting in prayer. So Q.
Loving Father, we are so happy and thankful for everything you've done for us and all that you do for us. Lord Jesus, our big brother, our example, and Holy Spirit, our mouthpiece. The way that Father speaks to souls through us is still amazing to us. Help us in everything that we do and all that we need. It's so nice to be able to have these meetings and to hear experiences, especially dear Father, because many times when we have those experiences, Satan is doing everything that he can to make us think that it's not real. But dear Father, then we go and we remember it so clearly. It's so beautiful. Help us in everything that we do and all that we need, and especially dear Father, that we remain true to this calling. We have a big responsibility. Help us that our daily lives and activities don't get in the way. We know we have to make our way in this life, but you are always there with us and for us. Let it be that we more and more work to become the bride, but also we are there to protect and strengthen and teach in the various capacities. We love you. We need you. Help us throughout this coming week. And dear Father, in the opening prayer, Krylin mentioned the difficulties that we face, and we live in a strange time. Let it be that we always seek that connection with you, receive it, and then we have peace throughout our days. And when we recognize that that peace is gone, that we stop what we're doing and we reconnect. You know what is best. You know the future. We look forward to it, even though, dear Father, we know it won't be easy. Help us to not worry in the least. We love you, Father. Lead us into our future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you all. Have a great
week. Happy Thanksgiving and blessed Christmas.
You too. Take care.
See you. Bye.
Love you guys.